The Tzaddok's Siddkas HaTzaddik, and it's a section on Tikkun HaBris. So let's see if we can understand a little bit the Avodah of Shovatim. B'yamei HaNa'urim, Resichas HaTaiva Miskaveres. In the days of one's youth, what's Resichas? Resichas HaTaiva Miskaveres. Resicha means like the boil, like, you know, like to boil something up. So the taiva that a person has during these days is sort of extra energized. It's normal. A young person has a lot of energy. And it's a question of how we direct that energy. So because a person has strong taivas at this stage of life, again, when a person's younger, in their youngest years, they're not yet aware of any type of sexual urges or drives. And when a person gets older, hopefully the weakening of the body also lessens the taiva. But when a person is in the days of his youth, of young adulthood, it's a very common stage for a person to battle with the Yetzirah. Again, specifically the Yetzirah for Inyanei Arayos. V'heim chatas na'urim. This is what we call the sins of youth. And when he's talking about the sins of youth, he's talking specifically of things related to a sexual nature. V'zeh haya bedur ha-mabel, k'mo shenemar, sham, ki yetzer leif ha-adam ra min urav. Okay, so he's going to present to us something very, very interesting. He says that, and you'll see, you'll understand spiritually how we are a continuation in a certain sense of the dur ha-mabel. So he says, the pasuk says, by the Dor HaMabul ki Yetzer Leiv HaAdam Ra Min Urav. That the Yetzer of a person is particularly Ra Min Urav in his youthful age. What is the difference between the word Ra and Rasha? It says that Aaron and Onan were Ra B'Enei Hashem. And Rashi says that their sin was. Their sins were hotzah zara levatala, that they wasted their seed. Ra is often a code word, again, for sexually immoral activity. And ra is worse than Russia. Right? Ra is worse than Russia. Why is ra worse than Russia? Because the shin that's in the middle of the word Russia, the three-pronged shin, in the middle of the ra, resh shin ayin, the three-pronged shin in the middle represents a certain connection to the Gimel Avos. That's why the Belzer Rebbe said, I think it was the Belzer Rebbe who said that at the Seder, what do we do to the Rasha? What are we supposed to do to him? Hakeyes Shinav. So it could mean knock out his teeth, but it could also mean what? Hakeyes Shinav means knock out his shin. Right? Or said better, maybe bring out his shin. Right? When he teaches the Rasha, that the shin, so to speak, in the middle of his name, the shin represents that he also, on the outside, he's Ra. On the outside, he's Reish and Ayin. Right? But his inner Nekuda, so to speak, is a kesher to the Gimel Avos, the three prongs of the shin. So Hakeya Shinav doesn't mean punch him in the face. It means bring out his shin, bring out his connection to the Avos with him. But Ra, Yetzer HaRa, Ra represents, again, a negativity that sort of has lost the connection, or at least has lost on the surface the connection to the shin, has lost the connection to the avos. Okay, so Ra is worse than Russia. Ra is worse than Russia. Kietzer leiv adam ra min urav. So by the Dor HaMabul, which by the way, Chazal say was a time of tremendous sexual perversion. Right? Rashi says that even the animals, Rashi in Parshas Noach says even the animals were mating with, you know, not its own kind. It's weird, strange things are going on. Okay, but that's and again, it's ni'urav because the world was in a state of naris. The world was in its earlier stages, right? If we look at all of world history as, you know, Zev Sefer told us Adam, if we look at Adam Arishon, and if we look at all of humanity as being kind of one story, right? So Parshas Noach is sort of like our youth, the earlier stage of our life. So therefore, in the times of Noach, there was a lot of perversion in this area. V'gam kein misugal tov harbe mitzad ha'yitzer tov v'cheshchus l'divrei Torah. Of course, the flip side is that when you're young also, you go to yeshiva and you get very inspired and you're all fired up for Torah. Much harder to do that when you're older. So again, there's a certain, again, at this stage of life, in one's teens and one's 20s, there's a stage of life where a person, again, it's easier for a person to channel their energy and their drive towards Torah. And we know that there's a relationship between the two. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Yisurei Biyah that a person's mind only wanders into perverse, immoral, sexual thinking when my mind is devoid of Torah. If I fill my headspace with meaningful Torah ideas, so it's possible for a person to love Torah in the same way that a person loves this taiva. V'zehaya dor hamidbar, and that was the dor hamidbar. Shenamar v'zacharti lach chesed ne'urayich lechtech achrei v'midbar. So you see what he's saying here? He's saying the perversion of our youth is the dor hamabul. Ki yetzer leiv adam ra minu urav. But a person can take that same spirit of na'arus, of youthfulness, and channel it towards what? And channel it towards Torah. And that's v'zacharti lachesed ne'urayich. When we followed Hashem into the midbar to receive the Torah, that was also with a sense of youthfulness. V'heim atzvam osam ha'nefashos. Now, Tzaddik reveals to us, based on the Zohar, a big secret, that the Dor HaMabul was reincarnated as the Dor HaMidbar. So the same souls that rejected the Torah in the times of Noach were the same souls that received the Torah in the time of Kabbalah Satorah. Did we ever talk about this? How Hashem wanted to give the Torah originally to the Dor HaMabul? Ever talk about this? No? How long did it rain for? 40 days. Right? It's connected to the 40 days that Moshe Rabbeinu goes up on Har Sinai. There's a lot of connections there. The Gemara says in Bava Kama, and I'm a Sechta, on Daf Yud Zayin, Ein Mayim El Torah. Meaning, Hashem wanted to, what did Hashem originally want to pour down upon that generation? He wanted to give Torah. But when you reject Torah, what did they get instead? They got Mayim. They got Mayim. And it was hot water, right? It was hot water. Sichas HaTayva. It was boiling water. Because again, it was supposed to be a hot, fiery Torah, and they took that passion, they took that drive, they took that youthful drive, and they misdirected it. So there's a lot of interesting hints to the idea that Hashem wanted originally to give the Torah to the Dor HaMabul. When they didn't take the Torah, they got Mayim instead. They got hot water instead of fiery Torah. Okay? But what he's telling us here, based on the Zohar and Parshas Pinchas, is that it was a Gilgal. It was a reincarnation of the Dor HaMabul who would receive the Torah. Ayin Shom, Dahayu Ru'uyan Lekabul Torah B'Mabul, Ilu Zachu. They could have received the Torah in the time of the Mabul if they would have been worthy. V'nishmas Moshe haisa sham. And the neshama of Moshe was present. Anyone know what he's talking about? Where was the neshama of Moshe present by the Dor HaMabul? Noach. So first of all, Noach and Moshe are connected in the way of Gilgulim. But the Gemara also says in Maseches Chulin, where is there a hint to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah? You know this, Gemara? Where is there a hint to Esther in the Torah? Where is there a hint to Mordechai in the Torah? Where is there a hint to Haman in the Torah? And where is there a hint to Moshe in the Torah? What's the problem with that Gemara? Moshe's in the Torah. You know, the hint. I understand why you're trying to find the hint to Haman in the Torah, or Esther in the Torah, Mordechai in the Torah. You're establishing some type of link between Purim, which is this amount of re-accepting the Torah, with the actual Torah Shebichsav. Why don't you need a hint to Moshe in the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu's name's all over the Torah. And what's the answer to the question? Where do we find the hint to Moshe in the Torah? When Hashem looks at the Dor HaMabul, and Hashem is getting frustrated with the world, and Hashem says, I'm losing my patience, b'shagam hu basar, because man is but flesh. Hashem is disappointed in humanity, disappointed in the world. So the Gemara says, b'shagam is gematria Moshe. Hashem looks at the world, and Hashem is starting to regret creation. Bishagam hu basar, because man is but flesh. It's So bishagam is gematria Moshe. It's pretty simple gematria. You have a mem, you have a shin, and you took a hay, and you split it into a bez and a gimel. Bishagam equals Moshe. So we've done much better gematrias over the years than bishagam. What's the Gemara doing? So Rav Tzadok is saying, or he's hinting to that Gemara, by saying Nishmas Moshe Hayis Hashem, is that the Gemara is asking, where do we find the hint to Moshe Rabbeinu by the Dor HaMabul? That's the question. Why do you need a hint to Moshe by the Mabul? Because if there's going to be Torah, Zichru Torah's Moshe Avdi, there always has to be Moshe. So the Gemara is looking for a hint that Moshe Rabbeinu was present enough in some way by the Dor HaMabul, which would have allowed for the possibility of Torah. Interesting, though. But unfortunately, they took that again. They took that youthful drive, and you see it. You see it. You see people at this stage of their life, right? If you come to YU, so you sit and you learn. If you go to a secular college campus, you spend these years instead of chasing Torah, chasing girls. It's the same drive of a person steiging and growing in Avodas Hashem, right? It's that same push and that same effort that a person could make to establish oneself, the fire of Torah, the rischa d'oraisa, the fire of Torah. Or I could use that same passion, that same drive, for all sorts of physical pleasures. Okay? And that's what Hashem said, b'shagam hu basar, the nation has become, the world has become flesh seekers. They're not interested in the spirit, they're just interested in the body. Okay? So, Dor HaMabul got it wrong, Dor HaMidbar got it right. Now look where Tzadok writes. V'doro shal Mashiach, and right now, just right into it, Oz Yepam, three series. Round one was the Dor HaMabul, and we failed. Round two was Dor HaMidbar, Kabbalah Satorah, and we got it right. And now, in the moments before the coming of Mashiach, we're living through it again. You see an unbelievable explosion of Torah learning like never before, perhaps in Jewish history. And you also see an unbelievable explosion of Gilui Arayos and accessibility to immoral activity like never before, with greater unrestraint than ever before. So Dor HaShel Mashiach is round three of the best of three series. Bisod Mashakosov, as the Pasuk says, Tischadesh Kanesher Ne'uraichi. Right? Like the eagle, Tischadesh Kanesher Ne'uraichi. It should be renewed with the eagle that could soar so high, ni'uraichi, again, that youthfulness, that youthful drive, once again, is being offered to us. Va'azia tikun agamor, and if we win this battle, that brings the final tikun, meaning if we can be people in our immoral world today, to cling to the principles of Torah, of holy living, that's what Shovim's about. Right? Like Noah said, we're going through. We're reliving in the Parshios of Shemos Ve'era, Bo B'Shalach, the descent into Egypt, and then the rise from Egypt. So the Avoda is, when we come to Mitzrayim, so to speak, we're reliving these Parshios of Ervas Ha'aretz, Mitzrayim, which was known as Ervas Ha'aretz, place of Arayos. So we're trying to, make the very difficult, or what seems very difficult at times, choice to live a holy life. And that brings complete tikkun. Yeah? Shabbos me'erbuvia chatas ne'urim v'chesen ne'urim. It's a time of the blending, the blurring of what? Of the sins of youth and the kindness of youth. Again, right? Lechtech achrei v'midbar was what? Chesen ne'uraichi versus what? Rakura kol hayom. Kietzer leiva adam ra min urav. So we're living in a time of tremendous confusion, like we learned in Yismach Yisrael the other day. We're striving for la'olam ve'er. We're striving for that consistency in our life. Va'tov yizgaber al hara v'yahafchu la'tov. We're trying to convert the negative energy into positive energy. Okay? V'zeu sh'amar b'zohar Noach. And this is what it says in the Zohar, in Parshas Noach, as well as in the Tikkuni Zohar, in Tikkun Yilches, kad tachme kashta ba'anpe nihirin titzapa l'regle Mashiach. And you know what that means? Kad, when? Tachme. Chami means to see. When you see the keshes, what's a keshes? A rainbow. Ba'anpe nihirin. When you see the keshes with great clarity, titzapa l'ragle Mashiach. You should look forward to the arrival of Mashiach. What's the keshes have to do with anything? So he says, Sha'keshes hu os habris. The keshes, the bow, corresponds to the bris. Where's the chumash here? What does it say about Yosef's bracha? Yaakov's bracha to Yosef. This past Shabbos.
Oh, Yosef. The bow.
The bow. Yeah. What does it say?
Your hands should be...
A charming son is Joseph, a charming son to the eye. Each of the girls climbed heights to gaze. Everyone wanted to catch a glimpse of Yosef, yeah? They embittered him and became antagonists. The arrow-tongued men hated him. But his bow was firmly emplaced. Vatesha be'esan kashto. Yosef maintained his bow. So the Gemara darshins this in Maseches Sotan, Daf Lamed Vav, and when Yosef was about, I don't know, a couple of seconds away from sinning with Eshet Potiphar, to the point that he was almost in position with her to commit that Avera, right, all of a sudden Yosef stopped himself. With Teshev Be'esan Kashto, with great strength, Teshev, he brought back Kashto. And there may be some like sexual imagery here of the Makom Mila, so to speak, getting in position, so to speak. So the Keshes, so when the Keshes is Ba'anpe Nihirin, right, when the bow, which again is a delicate reference to the Bris Mila, is able to be what? To be illuminated, when a person doesn't dirty that area of one's body with sin, but when a person is able to what? To guard oneself properly, like Yosef HaTzadik, so that's a sign the Mashiach is going to come. Again, Shakeshes hu os bris, neged onche chatas naorim, uvedoro shal Mashiach yazeba anpin nihirin. And when Mashiach comes, it's going to be a time of what? It's going to be a time where we're able to make that right choice. Baharas panim. Baharas panim, with an illumination of sorts. Shashem Yisbarach meir einayim ledas kisar avaram bezeh. It'll be Hashem's way of, so to speak, smiling back at us, saying, wow, look at your unbelievable strength. When the world was immersing itself in greater depravity, look how you rose above that. Va'ameich kulam tzadikim, like the Navi says, right? To be like Yosef HaTzadik, we should all be like Yosef HaTzadik. Peirish shomrei habris kanon. To be people who guard the covenant. People who protect the bris milah. And again, who try to... It's not only about the bris, it's about what we see, it's about the way that we think. Not easy things. Okay? Let's try another piece. Mishu shomer habris v'lo ra'ah keri miyamav hu nikra yufei tawar b'kasuv. A person who has never, God forbid, wasted seed, has never seen keri in his lifetime, he's referred to as a yafei tawar, a person of beautiful appearance. Now it's interesting, the Gemara says, and I always wonder if this, you know, if this gives us chizuk or this makes us feel even more defeated. But Yosef HaTzadik, when he was with Eshes Potiphar, the Gemara says a very unusual thing. The Gemara says that Yosef lost 10 drops of seed through his fingers. It says Yosef was about to sin with Eshes Potiphar and 10 drops of seed came out from his fingers, whatever that means. A lot of different ways to understand that. That's why Yosef only had 2 children, Ephraim and Manasseh. Why didn't Yosef have, if everything about Yaakov's life and Yosef's life are similar, Ela told us Yaakov, Yosef. So just like Yaakov had 12 shvatim, why didn't Yosef have 12 shvatim? So it seems to be because Yosef lost 10 of his shvatim in that moment with Eshes Potiphar. Through the loss of those 10 drops of seed, so to speak, he lost 10 of his children. Okay? And yet, despite the fact that the Gemara reveals that to us, Yosef is described because he was the one who, in the greatest nisayon, Yosef, at the end, ran away from Eshes Potiphar and resisted that temptation. Yeah, so we find that Yosef is called Yafei Tawar, a beautiful form, beautiful appearance. Ke'inyan Yosef Yafei Tawar. V'zeh ne'amar sheker ha'chein ve'hevel ha'yofi. Ki matzinu gam kein ba'umos akum shayun nekiyam izah. Now, Rav Tzadik says something very interesting. Rav Tzadik is very deep. It's not always so easy to know what he's trying to say. Yosef is called Yafei Tawar. Yosef is beautiful. Do we care about beauty? Sheker Achein, Behevel Hayofi. So he says, Rav Tzadik says, Right? We're not so impressed by this beauty. Why? Because we find that even there are Gentiles, there are people from the Umas HaOlam, who are also innocent from this Avera. Kumo Og Shapalat Midur HaMabul Uvalo Teva Klal. What do we know about Og? The Medrash tells us that Og was holding on to the outside of the Teva. And the reason that Og was saved in the Dor HaMabul, because apparently Og was what? Was innocent from any of the sexually immoral activity of that generation. So don't be so impressed by Yosef at Tzaddik. There was an Andrew by the name of Og who also was able to what? To withstand that temptation. V'adai lo haya nisa l'shikra, rak shelo haya ben mabul. Why was Og able to be saved? It wasn't that Hashem performed the miracle for him in vain. It was that Og had a schus. What was the schus that Og had? Og was also a person who what? Who was above the lewd activity of that time. The hainu mashchis zera, he wasn't a ben mabul. He wasn't shayach to the Dor HaMabul. In other words, he wasn't a person who did this avera, namely the wasting of seed. Kamosha amru perek kol hayad, like it says in Maseches Nida. Take a look at footnote number 1. The Gemara says in Nida Dafid Gimel Amud Aleph, Tani Rabbi Eliezer Omer, kol ha'ochez ba'amasa umashtin ki ilu mevi mabul la'olam. The scary Gemaras that talk about a person who wastes his seed and the like, right? Some of them appear there in Maseches Nida. It says a person who holds on to his bris milah while he urinates is like bringing a mabul to the world. Really, there are halachos about how a person should go to the bathroom. You're not really supposed to hold yourself by going to the bathroom because we're concerned that a person may arouse himself. And then it's like he brought a mabul to the world. Why? Because that means he's only so far away from the avera that brought the mabul to the world, that immoral activity. So the fact that Og survived the mabul, right, shows that Og must be what? That Og must be a person who had this chus of not being a ben mabul. Okay? So what are we so impressed about Yosef at Tzaddik? So let's keep reading. Back up top, let's go to the top of the page. As I've written elsewhere on the Gemara Nida Samach Aleph, Shahaya ben Achia bar Sham Chazai, Ve'ein kan makomo. V'lachei nitna arto lachatzi mate menashe, Mizara de Yosef Shomri Habris. And that's why Og's territory was given to the descendants of Yosef, because Yosef is also the Shomer Habris. Okay, let's keep reading for a second. He's going to tie together some of the pieces. V'lakach nisyare Moshe mimenu. We find the funny thing. Og is like this character in the Torah who never dies. He's always there. He's literally there from the Mabul until Moshe Rabbeinu is fighting him at the end of the Torah. So Moshe is scared of Og. Why is Moshe scared of Og? Because he's tall? No, that's not why Moshe is scared of Og. Ki Moshe hayikim midor HaMabul. Because as we just explained, that Moshe also had a sheiches to the Dor HaMabul. Moshe Amru Chazal, the Gemara Nechula that we mentioned, Bishagam is Gematria Moshe. You see? Bishagam is Gematria Moshe. V'nemar Allah, ki min hamayim mishisihu. Interesting. Think about Moshe's name. Why is Moshe called Moshe? Because he's withdrawn from the water. Shaya Ozba. He was saved from the water, so to speak. So Moshe fears that Og is his rival. Moshe Rabbeinu was born Mahol. Wonders about Moshe Rabbeinu is he was born fully circumcised, without Arla. So Moshe was also a very holy person. Moshe separated from his wife. So we see that Moshe is a person who represents what? Very high levels of sexual purity. But Og does also. So Moshe is scared of Og. You hear? He was scared of Og. V'gam kol ikar inyan Moshe hay letakin davar zesh nikra shtus. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who what? Whose avoda, in part, was to what? Was to rectify this avera that's called shtus. Shtus means that it's a code word for, again, for arayos. And Moshe is the one, I'm going to explain in a second, let's keep reading. Shalakach haya parish mana isha, Moshe separates from his wife. Where is Moshe buried? Opposite Baal Peor, the cover mul beis Peor. What happened with Baal Peor? How did the Jews get to Baal Peor? Yeah, the women said, bow down to our idols. We don't want to bow down to your idols, so they seduced them. Right? I mean, this is Chazvi and Zimri. This is Pinchas. And Moshe taking a stance against it. So being buried against, opposite the place, what does it mean to be buried opposite the place? Opposite means Moshe says, I'm the opposition to the Avera of Peor. Which again was Avodah Zarah, but it was Avodah Zarah, she says, totally as a Hechatimsa to Arayos. Right? They got them to do Avodah Zarah in order to be with their women, the non-Jewish women. So he saw that Og was also innocent of this Avera. So Nisyari Mimenu. So Moshe says, Og is my equal. Og is also a tzaddik. Yosef's a tzaddik, Og is a tzaddik. Yeah? Until Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, don't fear him. Look at the word oso. See the word oso? Al tira oso could also be read al tira osvav. What's the osvav? Osvav is the osabris. Remember I told you the other day how Hashem made a bris between our 10 fingers and our 10 toes? I just saw this morning that the Ateris Yeshua, let's say for the Ateris Yeshua, or Yeshua Jikov. So he says, why is Shovavim take place this time of the year, between Hanukkah and Purim?
Darkest time.
Okay. Also. What are the body parts of Hanukkah and Purim?
Eyes. Oh, the hands. You light.
Or which Svira corresponds to Hanukkah and Purim? Hanukkah is what Svira? Is it Chesed, Gevura, Teferas, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus? What is Hanukkah? You guys know this one. Hanukkah and Farak. Hanukkah is Hod, right? Hodos, Lahalel. Hanukkah is Hod. What's Purim? Purim is Netzach. Chuasam, Chuasam. Ha, Yisal, Netzach. Right? It's Netzach. So where are Hod and Netzach in the body? Chesed is the right arm, Bur is the left arm, Tiferes is the torso, Netzach and Hod are the two legs. So the Ateris Yeshua says, Pasha, if this is a Zman of Tikkun Yesod, which is the Bris Milah, so where is the Yesod? Where is your Bris Milah? Between your two legs. So between Hanukkah and Purim is the time to betaken, Hanukkah and Purim corresponding to Netzach and Hod, the two legs, is the time to betaken this Pagam of Yisod, of Bris. Isn't that nice?
Yeah.
Pasha. Very nice. Very, very nice. I thought that was very nice. Okay? But if you remember, I told you the other day from the Sefer Or HaTzvi that if you count starting from the toes and you match up right? Because again, the Sefer Yetzirah says there's a covenant between your 10 fingers and your 10 toes. So it corresponds to the 10 fingers, the 10 toes, plus the Bris Peh, the Bris Lashon, and the Bris Maor, the Bris Milah. Those 22 correspond to the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. Right? So remember the count? You start from your toes. Start on whichever foot you want. Aleph Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hey. Right? Bris Milah is the Vav. Then your other toes. Zayin, Ches, Tes, Yod, Chaf. Then at your hands. Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samach, Ayin, Pei is your Peh. Then Tzadik, Kof, Rei, Shin, Tav. Okay? So the Bris Milah is the Oz Vav. So Moshe is scared of Og because he feels that Og has what? Has this chus. So Hashem says, Al tira oso. In other words, Al tira osvav. Don't be afraid of his Kedusha Sabris. And that's how Tzadik started this piece. What did he say? Sheker achein vehevel ayofi. Just because a person didn't do the Savera, that doesn't really make him a Shomer HaBris. Now here Rav Tzadik says something that's a little bit hard to understand. Look at this. It's a Maimar Chazal. Ki kaim alan bin Nedarim. The Gemara says in Nedarim, Hanoder min ha'arelim, Osir b'mule umos ha'olam, Umutter b'arle Yisrael. Let's say a person takes a neder and says, I'm not going to get any hana from an arel, from an uncircumcised person. So it says in Nedarim a very interesting thing. You're not allowed to get hana from a circumcised non-Jew, and you would be allowed to get hana from an uncircumcised Jew. It's just the opposite. I thought, what? I said I'm not going to get hana from a person who has arla. So the Gemara says, right, so you're not allowed to benefit from a circumcised non-Jew, and you'd still be allowed to benefit from an uncircumcised Jew. Apparently, right, Arla, the concept of Arla, is more than just whether or not a person has a piece of skin, a little foreskin. It's obviously that there's a spiritual reality called an Arel, right? And there's a spiritual reality of a person who's Mahul. So therefore, says the Gemara, again, Hanoder min ha'arelim, if you say, I'm not going to benefit from an Arel, Asur b'mulei umas ha'olam, because even a circumcised non-Jew is still called an Arel, Umutar ba'arle Yisrael, and you're permitted to uncircumcised Jews. She'ein ha'arla nikra ela al shamam, afilu heim mulim v'shomri abris. Because if Og has a bris milah, or if Og guards his makomila, if Og is a righteous person when it comes to his sexual activity, that doesn't make him a true shomer habris. Why? Because va'amech kulam tzadikim. The concept of shmiras habris is something that's unique to Klal Yisrael. V'shomer habris afilu shakilkalu. And we are the true guardians of the bris, even when we stumble. So it's very, very interesting. There's a lot to unpack here. Let's talk this out for a second. So I told you, Yosef HaTzadik is our ultimate example of Shmiras HaBris. But Yosef wasn't perfect. Yosef lost some drops of Zera when he was with Eishes Potiphar. So what's the pshat that Yosef HaTzadik is the ultimate tzadik? Right? And Og, let me ask you, who's holier? Who's holier? Maybe you'll say that the Pope, yeah? Maybe the Pope or a person who chooses a life of celibacy is holier than a person who chooses a life of intimacy. The answer is no, right? Why? This person's never had intimacy in his life. Right? That's not a Jewish idea. In fact, the Jewish idea is very, very much the opposite. The first mitzvah of the Torah is Purava. The Torah says we're not anti-sexual activity, but there's a way that it has to be done. So the fact that Og is somehow not a Ben Mabel, right, and Yosef HaTzadik, who we're saying is the ultimate example of Kedushas Abris, was slightly nichshal with Eishes Potiphar, doesn't make Og a higher level. The fact that Moshe has to be saved from the water, minamayim mishisiu, right, doesn't mean that he should be afraid of Og. Because be'etzem, a Jew, is by definition mahol. We're the ones who are charged with the covenant. This is a very tzaddok-esque idea. Right? That again, that a Jew who has been somewhat nichshal with his bris milah is more of a shomer habris than the Pope who's chosen a life of celibacy. It's a deep idea. I just realized today, what's the gematria of Og? Okay, if you spell it with a vav, you spell it malay, ayin vav gimel, 79. Right? So 79 is one less than Yesod. Yesod is 80. Yesod is 80. Yosef was a melech in Mitzrayim for 80 years, because Yosef dominated Mitzrayim with his midah of Yesod. So Og, you could say Og with the kolal is gematria Yesod. Right? Or you could say that Og is really just like one less than Yesod. Right? He's a little bit less than Shmiras HaBris. Shmiras HaBris, again, the guarding of the Yesod, which is the Bris Milah. But Og is a little bit less than that. So we shouldn't feel threatened, so to speak. That's what Hashem says to Moshe. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of Og. Moshe, your schus in Shmiras HaBris is much greater. So we as Jews have to realize that we are charged with the mission of what? Of creating and maintaining the proper understanding of sexuality in the world. Again, we're not, our religion is not one that asks one to refrain entirely from sexuality. That's not our priests do not separate from their, they don't refrain from marrying because of the evil of that act. No, the opposite. Puravu is the first mitzvah of the Torah. Right? But it's done in a way of Kedusha. Okay? Alright, let's do one more piece. Tzadi Zayin. Okay, tikun lamotzi zara levatala hu esa katora. Shovavim, one of the things that we try to work on in Shovavim is not just, try to guard your eyes more and do less averos, but one of the things that we do to fight back is what? Is that we try to strengthen our hasmada in Torah. We try to learn Torah more seriously. The tikun for motzi zara levatala is through the esa katora. Okay? Look at footnote number 2. He says, L'chashiva se'inyan, hinui matikan kama min makoros ha'chashuvim l'chetzah. So he says, let me just explain to you, just to give a little bit of a context, the severity of this avera, and then we can try to understand how Torah is the antidote to this avera. He quotes the Gemara in Nida, Yud Gimel Amar Aleph. V'kol kach lama, right? Why does a person need to be so careful not to touch himself, even in a not inappropriate way? V'vnei shemotzi shechva zara levatala, because it leads to the wasting of seed. The Amr of Yochanan called a motzi shechva zera levatala chayav misa. A person who wastes his seed is chayav misa. Then the Gemara says it's ki'ilu shofech dam, as if you're a murderer. Then the Gemara says ki'ilu oved avodas kochavim, it's as if you worshipped idols. Right? For some reason, this is a very severe isser. If you jump down to the 6th line of the footnote, it quotes the Zohar, where it says, Ra miyuchad lamotzi zara levatala. Yeah, there's a certain type of evil that's associated with this avera. Or he writes 4 lines from the bottom, in the footnote. He quotes the Zohar in Parshas Vayechi, Hu osa atzmo ra, he makes himself evil, v'kulam olim megehenim v'ze'ino ola. Everyone comes out of Gehenim except for this person. Am Rav Yehuda, Ein lecha avera ba'olam, shalotia aliyah, Rabbi Yehuda says, there's no aveir in the world that you can't do tshuva for except for this. And then the Zohar doubles down again in Parshas Noach by saying that there's no tshuva for this aveir. So Rav Tzadok and all the Sifrei Chassidus try to explain, it doesn't mean that there's no tshuva for this aveir. It just means that there's a type of tshuva for this aveir. It's a different Jew. How does a Jew recalibrate his relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu when he's involved in sexually immoral activity? So, says Rav Tzadok, doesn't say Tikkun Klali, he says, Tikkun Lamotzi Zera Levatala, who? Esek HaTorah. It's the study of Torah. It's the study of Torah, which is the antidote. Kamo Sha'amru, as the Gemara in Kedushin says, Barasi Yetzer Hara, Barasi Lo Torah Tavlin. Right? I made the Yetzer Hara. And maybe it's Hara. We're saying Ra is the name of this Avera. Barasi Yitzhar, Barasi La Torah Tafnun. V'isa B'suka Dafnun Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Karu Ra. It says that the Yitzhara has 7 different names. What was the name that Hashem gave to the Yitzhara? That name exactly, Ra. Hashem calls the Yitzhara Ra. The Yitzhara is called Evan. The Yitzhara is called Tzafoni. The Yitzhara is called Ra. Hashem is the one who called the Yitzhara Ra. What does that mean? V'hainu ba'avon d'dor ha'mavu. V'hainu motzi zara levatala. And it was the Kadosh Baruch Hu, again, refers to the d'dor ha'mavu as Raz, as people who are involved in Ra. Ki yetzer lev ha'adam ra minu ra. Okay, so Hashem referred to the Yitzhara by the name of Ra, to reference specifically again to the Severa. V'avru b'kedushin, d'lo nigzer ha'mavu al dagim shebeyam. Interesting. The fish survived the mavu. Why did fish survive the mavul? What does a fish represent? Haynu talmidei chachamim, kamo shekasavti b'makom acher, ala pasuk, uredu b'digas hayam. A talmid chacham is compared to a fish. And therefore the fish survived the mavul. This connects to why we eat fish on Shabbos. This connects to why the Gemara says that a talmid chacham is intimate with his wife only on Shabbos, from one Friday night to the next. Right? So the Talmidei Chacham are those people who are what? Who choose Torah over Arayos. Again, there's a connection between those two, the drive for Torah and the drive for sexual activity. Ukamosha Amru Bazar Bracious, which is why you ask people about, their struggle in this area, they'll tell you, when I was in yeshiva, when I was learning my best, like I barely had any, I was able to conquer this Yetzirah. When I'm not learning well, that all of a sudden my mind gets involved in all sorts of arayas. The Zohar in Bereisha says, and also in the Gemara in Nida, the Nikra Ra Ze Yetzahara Bara HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now this Yetzahara was created by Hashem. Kvo Shneamar Va'asher Hariosi. V'lachein Yimtza Ze Gam B'chalom. Tzadik is very deep. Tzadik says, this Yetzahara, again, what's the greatest gift Hashem ever gave us? The Torah. So corresponding to that, Hashem also has to create a zel umas zel, the opposite of Torah. The opposite of Torah is this Yetzirah, is this desire. Right? Hashem says the same way I created Torah, I created this Yetzirah. The proof that this is something that is somewhat even beyond my control is the fact that sometimes a person is moti zera levitala even in a dream. That's a way of saying that it happens even without my consciousness, as if to say that Hashem is the one who's responsible for this. To show that this is not only something that man created, the same way that Torah is not man-made, so to the Yetzirah that corresponds to Torah, the opposite of Torah, is also not man-made. It's a type of taiva that comes directly from Hashem in a certain sense. V'tavlin hu l'mate kamaycha. So what does the Gemara say? Hashem says, I created Yetzirah, I created Torah as the tavlin. I created Torah as the spice. What is spice? Spice is not food. Spices are not food. Spices come to what? To enhance the quality, the taste of the food. Namely, hainu lahafeich hara l'tov mod. You can take a very bland food item, and with spices, all of a sudden, it tastes delicious. It can be a very boring food item by itself. The lettuce is very boring tasting, but you put a good salad dressing, all of a sudden the lettuce is delicious. It brings out a different flavor. Yeah? Kvo sha'amru chazal, tov ma'od ze yetzahara. Shal yidei divrei Torah nimtak. So what does it mean, what Tzadok is explaining here, is what does it mean when we call the Torah the spice of the yetzahara? The goal is not to destroy the yetzahara. The goal is to transform that same drive towards something positive. That's what we're trying to light. It's the same drive. Aaron Khan, Shlita, from our yeshiva, gave a drush, I remember, a number of years ago. It was an amazing, amazing shmuz. It's online. You can listen to it. It's on Yitara. I don't know what it's titled on there. You could probably find it based on the title. And he begins the shmuz by saying, I want to describe to you my love affair with Torah. And he goes on to describe how very much the same, again, drive for this type of Yetzirah is connected to the drive, the passion for Torah. The same way a person who falls madly in love with a woman can't stop thinking about her, that's the Rambam's mashal of how a person should fall in love with Torah. So the Yetzirah is not a bad drive, that's what he's saying, that's what Tzadik's saying. It just needs to be redirected. And Torah helps to what? To sweeten, to so to speak, change, it's the spice, it's the flavoring of the Yetzirah. That's why the Medrash says, Tov Ma'od Ze Yetzirah. Tov is Yetzir Tov. Tov Ma'od, very good, is a reference to your Yetzirah. How is the Yetzirah very good? The answer is, because if you can learn how to use it in the right way, it'll drive your life with tremendous passion. Yeah.
Very interesting, like you're saying, the Moses Ar Levatol, that's the Yetzirah. That's even before the internet was there.
Yeah.
Saying like, I felt like this is like was the sound of this generation. It started like more like saying
again,
even before
the internet has offered much greater, faster private access, you know, to pornography, and obviously a person who spends time, you know, looking at pornographic images or videos is more likely to, you know, to be motzi zera levatala. That's just the reality. So yeah, obviously, the more we're surrounded by it, the more a person lives in a society where you can't walk down the street without seeing, you know, lewd images. Okay, the more it enters one's mind, and again, the more it enters one's mind, the more the body wants to be involved in it. Whether it's motzi zera levatala by oneself, or whether it's a person getting involved in all sorts of sexually illicit activity. But yeah, there's no question, it's one of the misyonos of the generation. I always say, when the Gemara says at the end of Makos, when the Gemara is going through the different generations and how, you know, there's different foci of what the essence of the Torah is in that generation. Right? What's the last line of that Gemara? The Gemara says, "Bacha Bakuk v'amidon al achas." Habakkuk came along and summed up the Torah on one principle. What's that principle? V'tzadik v'munaso yichya. The tzaddik lives by his faith. But I think that Habakkuk is really hinting to two things. He says, "V'tzadik v'emunaso yichya." He's saying that to survive at the end of days, if I have to sum up the Torah as being one thing, it's tzaddik v'emunaso yichya. It's the mid of tzaddik and it's the mid of amunah. A person needs tzaddik and a person needs emunah. What are the two major nisyonos in our time? The nisyonos of our time are exactly that, tzaddik and emunah. Tzaddik is the Indian of Yosef at tzaddik, and emunah. We live in a time of unprecedented heresy and atheism, militant atheism at times, working diligently to convince people of the God myth. So, if you want to survive, it's tzaddik be'emunaso yichya. You need the Indian of tzaddik, and you need the Indian of amunah. So, there's no question that kedusha and amunah, as the Nesivos Shalom writes about, he says that every major, Nesivos Shalom has a few essays where he says that every major turning point of history, these two things become the main issue. When Klal Yisrael on the way to Kabbalah Satorah, these two things became the main issue. When Klal Yisrael want to bring the Geula, these two things are going to be the main issue. That's what's happening in our world today. It's a sign that Mashiach is close. The fact that these, you have people rejecting Yiddishkeit like never before in a certain sense, and people getting involved in this tumma like never before in a certain sense. Yeah, so Tova Ode is the Yitzhara. Because if I can learn to redirect that drive, so then a person can achieve unbelievable things. Okay. Let's finish the paragraph. Uvezoar bereishis v'noach amru delays misayva kamohu. There's no tuma like it. Misayva means tuma. There's no tuma that's quite like it. It really brings a person down. V'nei amru reparik beis zebrachos the divrei Torah malin mituma latara. And therefore, the Gemara says in brachos that Torah is the thing that lifts a person up from tuma to tara. So what Tzaddik is doing is he's establishing a very clear relationship between this Avera and the study of Torah. So what about the fact that the Zohar says you can't do tshuva for this Avera? So why are you telling me that Torah is the tshuva? It's like the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, b'zevach in miskaper, aval miskaper b'torah. It's like the Gemara that says certain things, you can't bring a karban to be miskaper, but you can always get kapara through Torah. V'hacha na mikain, and the same thing is true over here. And this is a major thing that you find in the Svarim, that again, when the Zohar says in Noach and in Parshas Vayechi, you can't do tshuva for the Severa, it just means you can't do regular type of tshuva. You need special types of tshuva. One of the special types of tshuva is tshuva through the study of Torah, through a smother to survive the fires of Gehenna. Well, clearly what we're saying here, Gehenna gam kain nekura. Gehenna is called the place of Ra. And this Avera is called Ra, as the Pasuk says, Lo Yinaka Ra, Lo Yinaka Midino Shal Gehenim. So if you want to overcome Gehenim, if you want to overcome this spiritual Tuma, you have to attach yourself to the ultimate source of Tara. Torah, which is Chaim. This Tuma, the wasting of seed, the wasting of that potential for life, is death. Torah is Torah's Chaim, attaching oneself to life. V'haynu kamosha amu be'ervin, as the Gemara says, Sha'kol yardim la l'gehenim al iske hinam. Everyone goes to gehinom because of what? Because of matters of immorality. Hinam means immorality. So the antidote is that what? Talmidei chachamim don't go to gehenim. If you have Torah, you can overcome this avera. Okay, just turn the page, finish the piece. Haynu shmira sabres. So people go to gehenim because of shmira sabres. Or failure to be shomer nevus. V'zeh she'amru gam kein barata gehenim, and that's what the Gemara says. Hashem, you created gehenim. Shegam kein Hashem yizbarach baro kamo yetzahara. Hashem, you made gehenim. Hashem, you made the Torah. Hashem, you made this yetzahara. V'isa sham gam kein barata tzadikim. Hashem, you made tzadikim, which means that a tzadik b'chol makom shomer abris gamu mitchilas bria. The idea that it's possible for a person to be shomer the bris is also precedes the world in a certain sense. ki yeshto gam bereshem v'ubos ovde kochavim, because we find, like we saw, that even non-Jews are able to sometimes have this type of shmira. Aval ze ne'mar gam ki elach begeit salmaves lo ira ra ki ata imadi. And even if I walk through the gates of Maves, lo ira ra, I'm not afraid of ra. I'm not afraid of this aveira. Why? Ki ata imadi. Ra hu darga niskaras. Ra represents what we've been describing. Va'ata perish al yedei shemarata. Since you, Hashem, are the one who made this, I don't have to fear. Why is Rav Sadek, again, establishing that Hashem created this Yetzirah? Why is he doing that? Because Hashem wants to show you that the main thing that can serve as your protection against it is also the thing that is most directly, that we have that is most directly connected to Hashem. And that is the Torah. I'll just end with a word from the Chafetz Chaim. We say, on a public fast day in the Haftorah, I told you this far once, but in the Haftorah that we read at on a Tanis Sibur, Mincha time. So in the Haftorah we say, Ki kasher yered hageshem v'asheleg min hashamayim v'shama lo yeshuv ki im hirva es haaretz v'hol yida v'yitzmicha v'nasen zera lezarei v'lechem l'ochel kein yed devari asher yitzei meipi lo yeshuv elai reka. Just like the rain comes from the heavens, right? So too the words that come from my mouth shouldn't be empty. Yeah? So Chafetz Chaim writes in an essay, he says, everything that we have in this world, everything that we interact with in this world is a later version of the original thing that Hashem created. So you go to the supermarket and you buy eggs. Yeah? Where did those eggs come from?
Chicken.
A chicken. And where did that chicken come from? It came from, I don't know, the chicken that preceded it. And it came from a long Masorah of chickens. Right? Going back all the way to what? All the way back to the original chicken that Hashem created. So when I interact with that egg, in a certain sense, wow, I'm attaching myself to the original chicken that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, but in a very detached kind of way. When I learn Torah, I'm attaching myself, what? To the Shoresh. Every time I learn Torah, it's not, oh, I'm learning a Torah that was transmitted, right? That it was. When I touch Torah, I'm touching literally the source. It's the closest thing we have to a direct creation of Hashem. Every time I experience Torah, it's the first time. Right? The tree that I look at outside and I say, wow, Marabu Masecha Hashem, this tree is not the original tree that Hashem created. It's the descendant of the trees that HaKadosh Baruch Hu originally created. But Torah is a person making contact with the Reishis. So I think what Rav Tzaddik is saying here is that the same way that there's an Aveira that is so deeply connected to Hashem, and it's the reason that Kadosh Baruch Hu calls it Ra, and Hashem says, Barasi Yetzara. It's the reason that a person can experience this Aveira even in a non-conscious state. It's a way of saying that Hashem is deeply connected to this Aveira. Right? It's a way of saying that it's an Aveira of Reishis, of Yesod, of starting point. That drop of Zara which has the potential to begin the formation of a child. So what he's saying is the antidote, Rav Sadek is establishing that to say that the antidote, the response to this Aveira, the way that we're attacking this Aveira is also trying to get back to something which is as close as we can get to Hashem. Just like this Aveira is the Aveira, in a certain sense, that's most directly created by Hashem. So our response to this Aveira is also by attaching ourselves to our greatest gift that we have from Hashem, which is Torah itself. So Barasi Yitzhar, Barasi Torah Tavlin. The way to be Bataki in this Aveira is you have to go back to the source. And the source is Torah. So that should be the Avodah for us during Shovavim. The Avodah of Shovavim is to study Torah with greater Hasmada. And then to self-assess, to realize that when I'm learning Torah well, my mind doesn't get caught. When I have a strong Chavrusa and I go to Shiurim and I'm learning Torah well, specifically Torah, well, I shouldn't say specifically because there's proofs in both directions. If it's Torah Shebechsav is the better antidote, or Torah Shebaal Peh is the better antidote. Usually we assume Torah Shebaal Peh, but it's also Torah Shebechsav. When a person learns Torah, again, that helps a person to elevate himself above lewd thinking and lewd behavior and sexually immoral desires and activities. All right, so we should be zocha to be tzaddikim. V'amech kulam tzaddikim. The Rabbi Yeshaya said it's shayach for all of us to be tzaddikim. So we should be zocha to be tzaddikim during the days of Shovelim. All right, shkayach.
The Tanya says that like the zera comes from the brain.
Right, that's exactly what I was going to say. The Tanya says that the zera comes from the malach. Exactly. So the more we can immerse our minds in Torah, that's correct. Or we can cleanse our thoughts. That's right. Guard your eyes, guard your thoughts. Again, that's why the Rashi says at the beginning of this Pesach's Parsha, that with the death of Yaakov Avinu, who is the Talmud Chacham par excellence, the greatest, Yaakov Ishtam Yosheva, without a Yaakov Avinu, Nistamu Einayim V'Livim Shal Yisrael. So you can learn it two ways. You can learn it that, you know, we've lost our ability to see in the right way, or to the heart, which also means the mind, the right way. But also, there's a sefer from Rabbarach of Kosov who says that, no, Nistu Einayim V'Liva means we have to close our eyes and close our mind. Without Torah, again, if I fill my eyes with pages of Gemara, Gevaldik. If I fill my mind with Torah ideas, Gevaldik. Right? But if I'm not going to do that, then better to what? Nistu. We should proactively close our eyes and shut off our mind. Because to leave a mind that's just racing, to leave our eyes open, and to not use it for Torah, so what is it going to fill up with? It's going to fill up with all sorts of other things. So part of our defense mechanism with the loss of Yaakov Avinu as we enter into Galus Mitzrayim is we have to make sure that we shut our eyes from seeing negative, and to close our minds from contemplating improper things. Not that the Egyptians shut down our eyes and our minds, that we chose to disconnect our mind, right? If I don't know how to fill my mind and my eyes with Torah, then at the very least I should block it from filling it with other things. That's the avodah. All right? Yeah. So we should be good Jews during these days. It's hard.
One thing I think it's hard to understand.
Thank you. Have a great day.